by way of introduction, and D2, somebody whose determination has indeed brought about terrific results in terms of what has and what continues to be, you know, a problem not only in Irish America, but for those around the world who had to know and like a needle in a haystack, those who've been looking for their birth parents, and all to no good end. Not so with our guest, as we revisit, and she joins us after some 15 years, friends, when she, in our program, and indeed on radio programs in Ireland, came to seek information and indeed to track down her birth mom. Let me welcome Nancy Giambalvo and her husband, Andy. And Nancy, Mandy, you're very welcome back to the program.
How are you?
We're very honored to be on your show, and we hope our message will help other people in this situation.
Before indeed, we want to acknowledge, since you've requested it, to send greetings to all the Gintys listening to our program from Bunnyconlon in County Mayo, throughout Ireland, England,
yes,
California. So say hello to them.
Okay, I just a couple of people, because they're my aunts and uncles. I want to say hello, Aunt Frances, Uncle Frank, Uncle Joe, and Uncle Lawrence, and also my brother in California, Mike Campbell Connor, and his family, his whole family, and all my wonderful cousins that I all love, all of them, that treated me wonderful in Ireland and England, outside of Birmingham.
Now, of course, it's very appropriate to say hello to them all in the same minute through the through IrishRadio.com here, because for at least 20 years, if not before that, and many of us distinctly remember your being in our studio and coming.
Yes, I went twice.
Yes,
two times.
But
I came to you. I remember going up to the studio, meeting you, and, you know, getting on air, and, you know, people listened back then, and people called in, and it was very nice, you know. I told them my story, what I knew, and I hope somebody would have heard and maybe knew somebody who may have given up a child or something, but nothing ever came of it.
Well, it's a long road indeed that doesn't have a turning. But, Nancy, you were adopted at a time when, you know, the black market.
Yes.
A shameful period on both sides of the Atlantic. You grew up in Brooklyn.
Yes.
In this Jewish household.
Yes.
Which, I remember on previous occasions you're telling us somehow, despite a good growing up in that Jewish household with Jewish doctor parents,
yes,
that somehow you felt that you didn't really fit in,
no,
and that didn't. And indeed, that included the neighborhood, the circle you were in. When did you begin to feel that somehow...
I was a little out of place.
Well, that you were, in fact, something told you that despite... And you had a good bringing up in... But when did it dawn on you? I don't know. I don't think that I came from, you know, from Jewish parents. There's something amiss. And when did it grab you to say, well, listen, I'm going to find out, as in fact millions?
Well, when I was four, I was told I was adopted. And then when I got older... You know, it's not until you get older that you realize, wow, I really don't look Jewish. And everyone pointed it out to me. You know, people would say, you're Jewish? You know, it was like, you don't look Jewish. You know, so it was kind of like, it never felt like that's what I was. And people said some things to me, you know, like... who's the little shiksa, which is, you know, a kind of derogatory kind of thing.
Yeah,
means non-Jewish
expression.
Female, you know. Not a compliment either.
Yeah.
So I asked what it was.
Stage, your reference, of course, is a shiksa, is that you are non-Jewish. And
yes.
Again, as I say, it's not a complimentary term.
No.
Yeah. Adrian, if I could interject also, she also went. She came to a point that she realized in school through the education that she realized that adoption meant that she didn't come from them.
Yeah, it wasn't until I was around 12 I realized it was like they showed a film in school and I was like, oh, so that's what it is. Oh my! I was like, wow, your parents really, back then, they didn't really tell you anything, so they brought us in and showed all the girls the film, and I realized, I was like, wow, so that's when my wheels started turning.
Now, did you, so you had a feeling so you weren't Jewish, that you, in fact, obviously had, some other ethnic strains in your blood, but had you narrowed down, how did you look towards the Irish connection as opposed to,
people would say to me, oh, you look very Irish, this and that, are
Plain
you Irish?
Redhead, yeah.
Why are you not wearing green on St. Patrick's Day? Stuff like that.
Well, Adrian, if I could, I'm sorry to interject.
Yeah.
At one point when Nancy... presented her parents with asking the question, they basically said, well, your mom is Irish or Scottish, and Nancy basically said, well, which one? And the parents said, well, we're not sure. It doesn't matter which one it is.
Yeah.
So we had some insight.
No, they said it's the same thing, and it's not the same thing.
Right.
It's just two different countries. Which one is it?
So, they sort of pointed to the basic region where her family could be, but... there were no specifics as far as family name. And they basically told us it was a young girl that gave a baby up. We believe that's what they were told.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To sort of shove under the rug that it sounds like in all signs that her mother was told that she had been born stillborn and sold into the black market. So that's the point where they said Irish or Scottish, it sort of gave us some direction.
It's almost incredible, unbelievable that in that period of time a mother would be told, okay, well, that was, you had a stillborn child there. But history will record, and indeed a lot of the research that we have now would definitely support that story, that notion. And Nancy, I just want to ask you, about your mother. When you finally discovered who your mother was,
yes.
And in fact, How do you feel about the fact that she probably never knew of your existence, or is that, how do you feel in your own mind? Do you think she may have known, obviously?
You know what? Honestly, I don't think she knew. I think they took advantage of her. I think they saw this single woman by herself who came from a foreign country. And the predators were out there and they took advantage of her. Because she was unmarried. There was no father, you know, at the time. Because, you know, I will say it's no secret, but my biological dad was married, so it was kind of the product of an affair. So here she is, a woman by herself. But, you know, that's hearsay. It's old news already. But she was the perfect, you know, person to be taken advantage of. Because... Mm. You know, she was single, and, she was, from Ireland. She was an American, and they said, oh, here's a woman. Oh, she's easy prey. So how they took her. That's how they took me from her. But I will say, my sister, on her birth certificate, it says that previous birth, on her certificate, it says stillborn. One stillborn.
Which they never really looked into.
No, she never noticed it until recently when I called her up. She was shocked. She was totally shocked. And she said she looked at her birth certificate and she finally realized it did say one stillborn on it. And she was like, oh my God. Because when I first sent her a letter, she was like, shocked beyond imagine about this. She couldn't even believe it, but, you know, when we did a DNA test, it was solidified. It was so high.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. The process, I think, you know, many of us have probably some secret doubts about the various websites and the various information opportunities that are there, that a simple a test of the saliva or blood or whatever, that can actually narrow our world down.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Now, you had, and Andy, I address this to you.
Yes.
When you were deciding to go to Ancestry.com and it was and the fee being what, $99 or something, did you have your own doubts, or was that one more thing? Let's throw it out there. What harm can it do?
Well, you know, it's been quiet for many years. Nancy Search. I mean, she was on various websites and whatnot, and she sort of, you know, she said to me, she sort of said, that's like the last straw. You know, it's been some years, and Ancestry is constantly actually updating their database, which they actually go to all the families in each country, and they check the lineage, and that's where they say, okay, you're an Irish family, and that's where they base their predictions on where you're from. So we decided on Ancestry because it seemed to be the largest database. Little did we know that the database extends into Ireland and England, which was a plus for Nancy. But when she got the results for her brother, it says close relative. So I think legally they can't say, you could see the numbers that he was either an uncle or a brother. But we did external DNA tests with her brother on dad's side and her sister on mom's side to confirm the true relationship.
Yeah.
And these were external DNA tests. So without a doubt, it's helpful. I always tell people that you may find surprises, and unfortunately some of the surprises could be bad or good, because you could find out that, you know, mom or dad had children that you didn't know about, which in this case, that's Nancy, but it all turned out good. So,
Yeah.
When I came down to the data that you had now, definite information, definite tracking, originally DNA, say 97% Irish, Scottish, and that, of course, was recently it was revised to 100%.
Last year.
Well, supposedly they increased their samples by 16,000, and then it changed. Now, Nancy, supposedly within the northern region of Ireland and Scotland is now 100%.
Wow. Okay. So now you have the day that now you've tracked your mother, now you've tracked your father, now you have more than definite proof. How did you start to, A, contact your relatives, and how did you, what was the first communication with your multiple cousins, aunts, uncles,
right,
in, Scotland and Bonnyconlon and my neighboring parish about it?
Well, I'll do the initial answer.
Oh, Andy's going to answer that.
On Ancestry, you're allowed to contact your matches on an internal email or message system.
Okay.
You're also able to review the match. So that's how it started, and then from there we just gently started verbal communications and through emails. That's how we arranged the DNA test with her brother.
Yeah.
And when we contacted her first cousin in England, which was the match. And on Ancestry, you can cross-reference.
Yeah, we have to thank my brother's friend who bought him this for a gift.
Right.
My brother Mike.
Yeah.
Thank him. I don't know his name, but I have to thank him. And then my cousin Christopher in England. We have to thank him.
Because
he wouldn't be here today.
Yeah, Adrian, if you don't mind, I just wanted to educate the people. You can cross-reference. Like, when her brother came up, and then 5 months later, her cousin came up. You're able to, it's called shared matches. So the cousin in England did not match the brother in California, which means we said, aha, that's mom's family. That's what happened, because Nancy matched both of them, but they didn't match each other, which means they didn't share any genetics at all. So Christopher came up, and he didn't match her brother Mike in California, the bells and whistles and lights started ringing. Go, that's mom's family.
Yeah.
That's mom's family. And then it snowballed from there.
I know that through the years and through the decades of broadcast here, that we've had so many people who... again, are in the position that you were in and found that there was very little cooperation, particularly, in England, in Ireland, which might be somewhat understandable for people here. But that in places, you were born, you grew up in New York State.
Yes.
And one would imagine that with or without, if Ancestry.com has, in fact, information that New York State doesn't have.
Exactly.
That's one hell of a system. And
I actually think New York State is one of the tightest holders of information. I actually think if you're adopted, you would have to go through many lawyers and everything to have those files opened up.
There's no open adoptions in New York State. Zero.
And if you do request information, they give you non-identifying, which you may get a hint of maybe what your dad or mom did or where they lived. Sometimes minor information comes through, and if you mix that in with the information, but that's for legally adopted people. We actually at one point requested Nancy's adoption file.
Oh, non-identifying.
Right, in New York State. And she basically got a letter back saying, well, we don't know why you're asking for this information because...
You're not adopted.
According to us, you're not adopted. There's no file on you.
Yeah.
So that was one of the first indications that we this adoption was a little bit on the dark side.
Yeah.
When it comes to the blame game, and maybe it's because we have a focus on Ireland and most of the scandals associated with, you know, mother and baby homes and the involvement and the intermingling of government, you know, and the church.
Mm-hmm.
We think, well, what a bunch the whole lot of them were. In being so secretive and so, but when it translates over to, say, New York State, doesn't make the story any better with respect to creating roadblocks for identification of your natural birth parents, or for that matter, your siblings, or whatever. It doesn't make it, you know, any better. But one would have to say, and I'm sure you probably would know the answer to this: is the secrecy pertaining to adoptions or whatever, say, in a state like New York, and it's by no means the only state, but has that got to do with their covering their own backsides and you know, in terms of avoiding any kind of legal issues? It's nearly as ready. It's easier, and perhaps from a political standpoint, you put it in the lockbox, you put it away, end the story.
Right.
Did you get that feeling yourself?
Well, through the years, we got the feeling a lot of times they keep records sealed is because they're protecting the identity of the mother.
Yeah, they thought that they were protecting the identity of the mother.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then also the adopted parents, they were worried that the biological mother would come back looking for the child, so that's kind of why they sealed these records.
Right. But, you know, a lot of times, even though a woman at, say, a young age gave a baby up, years later, there is a high percentage where they say, wow, I have children now, and they think back to the kid they gave up for adoption, and they go, like, I wonder where she is.
Or he. Yeah.
And, you know, if you flip the coin, especially nowadays, I mean, I know they have the new tests where you could see if you could get arthritis or different things, but it's very important you have your medical information, your history. And Nancy has obtained that.
Very, very true, yeah.
Nancy has obtained that, and she, you know, she's talked to family members, and, you know, and some of them have similar, nothing major, thank God, but, you know, you notice things, and when adoptees themselves have children, and, you know, when they go to a doctor and their kid is sick and the doctor says to you, well, what's your family history? And Nancy is...
I said, my whole life, I have no idea. And they're like, how do you not know your family history? I said, well, I was adopted. They said, well, can't you find out who they are? I'm like, no, because I was involved in a black market adoption.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? They're like shocked. They're shocked. Do you know many people are involved with black market adoptions?
A lot of people don't get it.
So naive. They think like everybody is on the up and up and everybody's trustworthy and everybody is, you know, telling the truth. It's not the case.
Yeah, well, cover up.
Best for you, baby.
Yeah.
But Adrian, I will tell you, I think there was, to a point, some cover up because she was born in a hospital. We believe in the Bronx. I mean, the records say Brooklyn, but it could have been a letter or K being taken as an X because X is the Bronx and Brooklyn is the K, but we don't think it was just one person.
Well, in the United States they have the black market baby rings. That's what I think I was involved
with. Well, we have heard through the years that like say her mother went to a doctor and the doctor realized that she was single, carrying a baby. Well, who's the dad? I don't want to tell you. There were people notified to say, hey, we have a prospect here to set them up to get their baby. It sounds horrible. It is horrible.
Yeah.
But we've heard that doctors or hospitals would say, go to whatever contact they had and say, look, we have someone here that is a candidate to do our dirty business.
Yeah.
And we believe that's what happened with her.
Now, I want to bring you to the point where now you have it. Now you're well underway in getting in touch with, through whatever methods, to not just a brother, a cousin, but to dozens of relatives that you
know. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of Ginties.
And the Ginty family. Now, on that first call or the first personal contact that you have, do you have a feeling in hindsight that if you got another member of the family or of a family, that they might say, you want to know something? We don't want to go there. God bless you, and I hope you have a good life.
Well, I always in the back of my mind thought that could happen, because you have to be practical. It may happen, but I will say, thank goodness, on my brother's side, they were very receptive, and they came here, and I went to visit them. And on my mom's side, the Ginty side, I met all of them in England first.
Mm-hmm.
I went to visit them. They made a wonderful party. Everyone was very receptive. And also in Ireland, they had a big party, and everyone was receptive. And I was very happy because they could have said, oh, I can't
right.
be bothered with
right.
that.
I think, well, you know, a lot of times adoptions, children are adopted because something bad happened,
mm-hmm.
something that wasn't expected. So Nancy was always prepared to say, okay, I'll contact them, and mentally she was wanted them to
oh, of course, you always
her.
Yeah, you want to be accepted, but
right.
there's always that possibility that you
right,
won't
because
be.
Because it could have been a bad situation with
right.
the pregnancy occurred. There are various scenarios for that, but I truly think that because Nancy does resemble a mom. Fairly to a point, she resembles a dad too, and I think that Nancy is a little bit of their brother, sister, and aunt that passed away that was out there,
mm-hmm.
and everybody loved her mother, and I think it was very easy for them to take Nancy under their wings.
What
so.
Would you say, as we wrap up here, what would
yes,
you
sir.
Say to those who have not gone as far, say, as you have gone, and who have been advised, indeed, by their own loved ones, would you ever let it go? If you do take that route, and if you do locate your relatives, if you go down that road, at least there's a 50-50 chance, or even more so, that the relatives you come up with, in fact, it could be a massive disappointment. You'd be 10 times worse off than you are right now, and, leave it be. What would you say to those?
You know what? You have to really want it, and you have to be prepared. If you get disappointed, you will get disappointed. But I was willing to go that length, to go to the end, because I guess I really didn't have anything to lose, just more to gain.
Yeah.
So, I was prepared if I was going to be disappointed, because I really had no idea. But honestly, the fact that I did Ancestry.
Yeah.
More than likely, somebody in Ancestry is probably looking for family members. So I, you know, that is a, you know, more likely that they might be more open. But in my case, I was a surprise to everybody. I was a surprise to my brother and his wife, Chris. She intervened talking to Andy, which was, you know, because they were like, what the heck is this, you know? I didn't blame them.
Yeah.
And then my cousin Christopher, he you know, found out, oh, wow, you're a close cousin. He had no idea who I was.
Yeah.
And he went to his parents, my Uncle Frank and Aunt Pat, and he had said, talk to them, you know, because it was kind of a shock, I guess. He says, oh, I'm going to go talk to them. You know, that was kind of like a stunning thing to find out that their sister, you know, at first he didn't even know who I was, which family member I could have possibly was, and who was my parent, you know? And they said the only one I could have been was my mother, Anne.
Yeah. But, Adrian, I will say, for the people who find family and they say, we don't want to know who you are, the minimum they should get, because we've dealt with detectives, investigators, if those people who say, you know, find family that don't want to know about them, at least get medical information. Say, look, I understand my birth and my whoever conceived me, there's problems there, but at least give me medical information, some family history.
Yeah.
That's all I want, and I understand. So if the person does do a search and they hit a closed door, they should try to get whatever they could. Adrian, I have a question for you. Her cousins have been asking me questions. They want to know if your family had a shop in the town where you were born.
Well, that would be my uncle had indeed, my father's brother, had a, it was actually the for the time, the equivalent of a supermarket. If you wanted shoelaces, if you wanted, you know, a loaf of bread, if you wanted any of the, which was referred to as bag stuff, anything for, you know, for cattle, for home, everything, that was it.
Someone mentioned a mobile shop, they said. A mobile.
There was that, and that also. He had a, known as the lorry, it was his truck that went round every day of the week to different villages and would sell the groceries and, And,
so you, technically you and Nancy are from the same area. Because
where if, as the crow flies, okay, I would say if Nancy, if the Genties are in Bunnyconlin, I've cycled past their door many times, and I'm sure
they're
That's amazing.
Let's just
hope all of
you
are
nice
and
you were flying by.
Yeah, I have to go.
Okay.
But one thing I do want to acknowledge is not only that in the futile efforts that you were making, you stuck with it, and
yes.
I am so happy that on the occasions when it seems like this didn't have a hope in hell of amounting to anything, that you came in our program. And we would like to again say, you know, thank you for coming back. It's one thing when you, you know, are on that road, you know, of discovery. The fact that you, both of you wanted to come back on this program to encourage others who maybe, you know, have the same problem you have and not... you know, lean one way or the other, but say, if you really want to do this, if you really want to
don't give up.
And one last thing, I'll be very quick. That's why we want to write the book with her cousin Paul, who's actually married to a cousin, and that's
my cousin Sadama's husband.
That's something generated too. Is the theme is going to be. It's hard. Don't give up. Keep pushing along, and with some faith, the truth will come out.
Okay. Listen, we'll have you back on, and again.
Yes, thank you for having me back. It's been nice talking to you.
Okay, God bless. Okay.
Thank you, you too.
Okay, and hello to all of your relatives throughout the world.
Thank you.
They're enjoying this, Adrian. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Nancy, bye.
So long, this Nancy and Angie, GM Balvo. Again, great story.
Thank you.
Thanks. I leave.